University Baptist Church is a faith community striving to think critically, live creatively, and love continually in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We gather on Sunday mornings at 5775 Highland Road between Lee Drive and Kenilworth Parkway. Visit ubc-br.org or at ubcbr on Facebook for more information.
Well, it is good to be with you, University Baptist. This is my official first time to stand up and speak as the coordinator of ministry for Great Rivers Fellowship. It has been a changing of season for my wife and I. After 19 years in Slovakia, as John has mentioned, as is in the little bio about me, this really is a different time of life for us, and we're looking forward to what God has next. I'm not going to talk to you a lot about Great Rivers Fellowship. I did that during the Sunday school hour, and there's a few pamphlets back there, little information cards that'll have the website if you want to look it up. There will be other times for me to speak about that, just not today. This morning's text that I will speak from focuses on the ascension of Jesus. Now, too often in the life of the church, we miss this significant event. Part of the blame is that traditionally Ascension Day, which falls 40 days after Easter Sunday, is celebrated on a Thursday. Now, most of us are okay thinking about Jesus on Sunday. After all, that's the socially acceptable day for religiosity. If you are exceptionally spiritual, we may include a thought or two about Jesus even on a Wednesday. It is the rare, fully devoted Christian who thinks about Jesus on a Thursday. And so, the ascension of Jesus often gets overlooked. And yet, the message of Jesus' ascension is precisely what we need to navigate our way through today's troubling times. So if you've got your Bibles, I'll invite you to read along or listen along. To Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 14. I'll be reading from the New International Version. So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and the cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." They then returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. And when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Well, wannabe dictators in positions of political power wanting to control every part of every person's life has just become a way of life. Forbidding cross-dressing. Now, that vulgar display when non-Roman citizens were dared to wear a toga, only Romans were allowed to do this. The poor folks were required to wear their tunic, not to go around in a toga. And as we know, fashion changes, other things are allowed. So as the time changes and non-Roman citizens were allowed to wear a toga, that became okay. But don't you dare be a woman and be caught in a toga. Those are for the men. The challenge of living as a person of peace, pacifist in the way of Jesus, it's challenge for the faithful these days. When Jesus told Peter not to open carry because living by a weapon means dying by the weapon, how exactly could the faithful boys fight tyranny of the government? And these are the questions that are behind where the verses that we began with this morning. This is why they ask, is it time for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel? As I relocate from Slovakia back to Arkansas, echoes of my childhood resonate within me. I was born in Little Rock. Once again, Little Rock will be where I call home. The more formative time of my youth, though, was not spent in Little Rock. I was in a tiny rural community called Wright, Plumbau. There's not much in Wright anymore. Costly machines replace the need for people to work in the fields. The remnant who are still there are those who have not yet moved into assisted living or those who don't have enough resources to get permanently out of Wright. The biggest danger to the life of that community is also a source of life for the town. Wright sits right on the Arkansas River at Lock and Dam number 5. Two or three times a year growing up, I remember going out on the levees and watching the waters of the Arkansas River slowly rise. As the river reclaimed land on her side of the levee, everyone knew what this meant for the hundreds of homes, mostly mobile homes, and the hundreds of lives perched on the riverside. The flood of 2019 delivered a devastating blow to that little riverside community I grew up in. Most of what remains are memories of good old days long past. It is interesting that the good old days of a restored kingdom of Israel is where the desire or was the desire of the disciples. For those who think about Jesus, even on Thursdays, you may recall that those different Old Testament stories about the kingdom. Those good old days of the kingdom were not really all that good. Constant intrigue among political and religious leaders. Enemies from neighboring countries threatening the survival of the kingdom. It was enough to keep prophets up night and day. Day-to-day life in the kingdom was a constant struggle for survival. Justice and mercy were aspirations so far from reality that the best ordinary people could hope for would be the arrival of God's chosen one who would usher in a new way of being, a different type of kingdom. Why then were the disciples looking backwards for a restoration of a great kingdom instead of looking forward towards the outbreaking of a new kingdom as promised by Jesus the Christ remains a mystery. Jesus did not give in to the disciples' request to go backwards. Again, instead, Jesus helped them shift their focus from problem to promise. Jesus shared the promise of God's Holy Spirit, who would be the guide and power for the church to become the transformational presence in their culture, which would help them bring about the promised kingdom. Then Jesus ascended into heaven. And unless I miss something, did Jesus just ghost the kingdom of God? He just disappears. According to St. Augustine, who is part of our tradition, whether we want to admit it or not, this is what he says about the ascension of Jesus. He did not leave heaven when he came down to us. nor did he withdraw from us when he again went up to heaven. And again, he says, Jesus remained with us even after his ascension. So we too are already in heaven with him. That hopeless feeling of watching rising waters inundate homes and barns and lives and right overwhelmed us 2 or 3 times a year. Every season, we knew what to expect. Community spirit withered as daily life was inversely measured by the rising waters left their mark on the flood gauges there by the river. Joy and hope succumbed to despair and hopelessness. Many of us here this morning still feel in our bones a similar sense of despair from just a few years ago. When a global pandemic forever changed the social and church landscape. Rage against the science all you would like, but please keep your cooties away from me. The reality is that the world has forever been changed. And we all stood hopeless in the face of that changing. Now, no longer obsessed with news about a global pandemic, joy and hope are now distracted by the perennial problems of rising inflation on everything from food to skyrocketing flood insurance premiums. The political turmoil that takes our attention. The attention that is required in a loving, caring way to give care and aid to aging parents or friends. The reality that at-risk youth in our community demands our attention because this too is a plague on the communities where we live. Like the disciples, we look for reassurance only to see the presence of Jesus removed from us. We were left standing in the gap between problems and promise, between our own self-sufficiency of recreating a kingdom and that which lies beyond the horizon of what we can see, wondering what comes next. What then does this ascent of Jesus mean for the ones left behind who have to navigate the complexities of life? In the words of Frederick Buechner, it is a reminder that the visible world is bound by the invisible. The ascension calls us to look beyond the tangible, beyond the things that we can see, to be able to recognize the hidden currents of grace and divine presence that flow through our lives. The ascension really is scripturally the ultimate hope of Easter. As witnesses of the ascension, we, along with those disciples that saw it on that day, are invited to join Jesus on a journey that is more vast and more marvelous than we can imagine. We find divine imagination at work in the words ascribed to King David about this hoped-for kingdom. He writes about it in Psalm 68. Let God rise up. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away, as wax melts before the fire. Let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be joyful. Let them exult before God. Let them be jubilant with joy. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides upon the clouds. His name is the Lord. Be exultant before him. Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God gives the desolate home a home to live in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious live in a parched land. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked. The heavens poured down rain at the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, you showered abroad. You restored your heritage when it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. This is what David saw from what was considered the leading up to the heights of the kingdom of Israel. David saw forward past the failures into this promised kingdom that is to come. So today, on Sunday, when it's still okay to think about Jesus, I invite you to seek him who remains with us throughout today's troubling times. The ascension of Jesus is our glory and our hope. He who descended to us is the same who ascended to heaven and who today is inviting you to follow him into the new creation. Are you ready to allow the currents of grace and God's divine presence to flow through you? For our time of response, we'll have a moment of silence as we consider the rising waters in our life and turn our eyes to the skies and then bring our gaze back down to our community that needs assurance of that promised kingdom.